Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You and me, we used to be together every day. I'm losing my best friend. I can't believe this could be the end. It looks as though you're letting go. And if it's real, well, I don't want to know.
Is your artist of the day. I believe that it is a debut for No Doubt. We're going to get into a very interesting topic here in just a moment. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we must follow through on a promise and get somebody registered to go to Las Vegas to see Journey.
Wheel of
Fortune! We're going to take caller number 5 right now at 576-7798, 576-7798. You automatically win $30 in Kansas Lottery Wheel of Fortune instant scratch tickets, and the most important part, you are qualified for the grand prize, and that is a flyaway for two to Vegas, airfare and hotel included, and a pair of tickets to see some obscure band named Journey. Never heard of them. Plus an extra $100 in Kansas Lottery Wheel of Fortune instant tickets. Caller number 5 at 576-7798, 576-7798.
So I've been waiting to talk about this for a few weeks, Scott. We very sadly lost two young people in our area in the last year or so. And in the beginning, they did not realize that these deaths were linked. And I think as you're going to hear this hour, it turns out sadly that they were. Those deaths are going to end up saving lives because we have a much better understanding now, thanks to two local physicians from Children's Mercy, that a drug that many of us have taken, that many of us have given our kids, a drug that I happen to be very allergic to, can lead to severe lung illness and death in some cases. So I want you to listen to this story. This is one of the stories out of either St. Louis or Springfield, talking about the link between these two little girls who died.
Just days ago, Bactrim and all of its generic equivalents were added to the FDA's watch list. Respiratory failure is also now included as a potential side effect, a huge development for Zay's doctors because until now, the FDA did not acknowledge this reaction as possible.
Bree Kirshen's daughter, Zay, is now gone. Even so, she's still fighting.
Zay would be proud. I think she would be fighting maybe in a different way than I do. She's so strong.
For months, doctors were stunned by Wichita teen Zay Awadia's mystery lung illness. Zay died early this year after a long stay in a Kansas City hospital. After her story reached national news, other patients with the same symptoms contacted her doctors. Finally, they connected the dots. Zay and the other patients had all been prescribed Bactrim, or its generic equivalent.
The numbers continue to increase for people who are interested in learning about whether their reaction had anything to do with this drug.
Dr. Jenna Miller with Children's Mercy in Kansas City published this study in the Journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Researchers looked at 5 previously healthy young patients who had taken Bactrim, or generic Bactrim. Of the 5 patients in the study, 2 died and all experienced lung failure. Now, another breakthrough. The Food and Drug Administration is recognizing the research.
The drug has been around since the 70s, and we suspect there are several more injuries.
Before now, acute respiratory failure was never listed as a possible reaction. But in a recent report, the FDA officially added Bactrim and its generic equivalents to its watch list.
By the FDA acknowledging that Bactrim causes acute respiratory failure in some patients is a big leap.
I want it to be on the same level where when providers think that they're prescribing this drug, they need to think about, okay, this bad skin reaction can happen and this bad lung reaction can happen.
Dr. Miller says the fight is far from over because educating doctors on what this reaction looks like could be a long road. In the meantime, she's still working to create a genetic test that could quickly determine if a patient will have a reaction like Zay's. We will continue to update you as more information comes in. In studio, Taylor Adams, Cake News on your side.
Okay, that was a story from Cake News. Joining us on the hotline is Bree Kirshen, who is the mother of Zay, who you heard detailed in that story just now.
Bree, thank you so much for joining us, and we are so sorry about the loss of your daughter.
Thank you, and I apologize. I am struggling with my own voice, recovering with some laryngitis, so hey. I hope I'm able to participate.
You are doing absolutely fine. So Zay spent 457 days at Children's Mercy with this mysterious lung illness. Can you tell me, like, in the very beginning when she was given the Bactrim, what was that for? It's such a common antibiotic.
Yes. Most of the kids who we have since studied received it for acne, but they actually was prescribed Bactrim for a urinary tract infection, and that is a very common use also for the antibiotic.
But also for acne, you said. And so she had a UTI, was given Bactrim. How quickly did she become sick after she started on the dose of Bactrim?
So the most terrifying thing for me as a mother and as a nurse is that there were no outward symptoms at all. She described a vague sense of uneasiness and fatigue on day three, and was not feeling well enough to return to school, which was very unusual for her. She was very goal-focused and in a gifted program. So I did call her primary physician on day three and explained that she seemed to be getting worse. Her urinary tract infection was no longer bothering her, but she was not wanting to get out of bed. there was no typical sulfa rash or the more severe Steven Johnson syndrome, which is almost like a scalding burn on the skin. So outwardly, she appeared fine until day 10 when she completed the antibiotic, and which was suggested as normal information, given what we knew, to continue because hopefully the infection would resolve. Day 10, she returned to school, and 4 days later, we were life flown to Children's Mercy Hospital. In those 4 days, she went from normal vital signs, normal lung sounds, to requiring 2 liters of oxygen support for shortness of breath, to 35 liters of oxygen support, to being placed on mechanical ventilation.
And so, Bree, at this point, no one thought, even the physicians that you were all talking to, desperately trying to figure out what was wrong with her, no one thought that Bactrim could be the cause here. This is something that's been around since the 1970s. Certainly at that time, right, respiratory illness or death or any of those lung disease were not linked to this drug. What were they saying this could be, or did they not know?
They did not know, and I was told two things that strike me by the physicians at Children's Mercy who received her from Wichita. The first was that they were absolutely doing everything possible to find out what the insult or injury to her lungs was caused by. And I remember one of her nurses telling me that they had never seen such a workup, even on their heart transplant patients. So I was very confident they were digging for answers. The other thing that is that it had been accepted, not by Children's Mercy, but just in the medical community, that when children present with acute respiratory failure, oftentimes they never find out what the cause was.
They don't ever find out why. And Bree, real quick, we're going to have you hang on here. It took the death of a second child, this child on the Missouri side of state line, for people to start connecting these dots. And when we return, Bree, we'll check back with you again. But we also have the two physicians, Dr. Jenna Miller from Children's Mercy and Dr. Jennifer Goldman, who started to figure this out. And what they have figured out, Scott, has changed the way we are talking about once was thought to be a very common antibiotic. The FDA is now weighing in on Bactrim, and we're going to ask them when we come back, what does this mean? Moving forward, if your child has a urinary tract infection, what does this mean for this drug?
All right, we'll get to that and much more with the two doctors and also with Bree Kirshen in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
This is how we do it.
You know, when I woke up this morning, I never thought I'd get into a detailed conversation about an antibiotic called Bactrim.
But here we are.
Here I am. Dr. Jenna Miller is joining us, and Dr. Jennifer Goldman. Both have either dealt with or researched Bactrim, and they join us in studio. It is a very popular antibiotic prescribed since the 1970s. I will ask you both, Bactrim good or Bactrim bad?
That's a loaded question. So Bactrim is very important for many of our populations that we serve, both in the pediatric and adult community. So we have immune compromised patients. So all of our cancer patients take this drug to help prevent severe infections, and it works really well for that. So this is not a war on Bactrim to say nobody should take Bactrim. This is a awareness campaign. So people try to understand both the patients and the doctors and providers who are prescribing this, what this reaction looks like, so we can recognize it and stop the drug.
So it took the death of a second child, 10-year-old Abigail Caldwell from Springfield, Missouri. She took Bactrim for a scalp infection. Her mother was also a nurse and was watching CNN one night and saw the story about Zay, who sadly passed away in February, and a light bulb went off, and she thought, this sounds like what happened to my daughter. Both of those girls passed away. Both of them happened to be on Bactrim. And then, Dr. Goldman, you guys start getting phone calls, right?
Correct. So we started getting referrals from across the country. We've heard, you know, over 30 cases. It takes a lot of time and energy to investigate all these cases and see what we're dealing with. And so to date, we're aware of 19 cases that really look very similar. And we are really trying to tease out and understand better these potentially life-threatening reactions.
And you're in infectious diseases, correct?
I am. And then my research focuses in bad drug reactions to kids.
But when you say 19 cases, does cases mean death?
So about 8 of the cases have resulted in death. Some patients have had lungs transplanted and others got better eventually on their own. All of them had breathing tubes for a really long period of time, like Zay, and required life support.
One of the things I asked you guys off the air, we have the internet. It is almost 2020. Why did it take so long for the left hand to understand what the right hand was doing? I mean, this really was an amazing stroke of luck that two, and I shouldn't even say luck, it is devastating that these two families lost their children, but that both moms were nurses. One nurse saw the story on CNN and said, wait a minute, this looks like the same thing that killed my daughter. Why did we not know this before?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question that a lot of very smart and reasonable people ask. First of all, as Jen alluded to, or Dr. Goldman alluded to, a lot of these patients are on life support. So that is called ECMO. And so that is a machine that takes the blood out of your body, oxygenates it, puts it back into your body. And this didn't really even become popular in adult care until 10 years ago and in pediatric respiratory care around the same time. So that's one reason that we didn't know about it, because these children and these people didn't have the opportunity to even live through the first several days to weeks of this disease process. Another, as you alluded to, is the internet, social media. The rapidity at which parents can share information is lightning speed. Doctors and providers can't share information about our patients with anybody outside of the hospital, which is a very important rule that I respect. However, it really limits our ability to get these rare cases from across the country and the world together.
And I think the one other thing is these cases are extremely rare. So the physicians that have happened to take care of one devastating case are struck by this. And now that they've started to read both in the, you know, medical literature and on Facebook that Bree's posting and things like that, they get in touch with us, but they're likely only to see one case in their entire lifetime of medical practice.
So they're not thinking, well, maybe this was Bactrim. Because even the mom, the nurse in Springfield, asked as a nurse, could this be some weird reaction to Bactrim? She was told repeatedly, no, that's not one of the potential side effects.
Right. Or it may, they think this has only happened once ever, and then they, you know, move on.
How big of a deal is it that the FDA, based on what you two figured out with the help of these families, the FDA is now weighing in? What does it take to move that mountain to get the FDA to say this is something?
So again, they've been really supportive, but it takes information, and the FDA, kind of like doctors sharing information, doctors have to share information to the FDA. And so if someone saw a case of this and never got that information to them, they may not know it was out there either. And so I think it really takes work between us, the FDA, and the families to really understand how many cases have happened and then what to do moving forward.
You're listening to Dana and Parks. Joining us in studio, Dr. Jenna Miller and Dr. Jennifer Goldman. Let us get to the newsroom. We'll be back with them in just a moment. And I am shocked by the reaction on the text line. There is an antibiotic called Bactrim. It's been prescribed since the 1970s. And it has, sadly, led to the death of several people. Joining us in studio is Dr. Jenna Miller and Dr. Jennifer Goldman.
What's interesting is the FDA within the last week issued a new warning of acute respiratory failure. And they did that in part because of the work that two physicians here in Kansas City at Children's Mercy have done. Dr. Miller, Dr. Goldman. Dr. Goldman, you have been studying and researching Bactrim, you said, about 6 years. But even when you heard about Zay's case, which was the first death that really led to where we are today, you did not think there was any possibility this could be related to the popular antibiotic.
Hit the red button.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, Bactrim's been around since the 1970s, like you said, and it does rarely cause really severe reactions, like bad skin reactions and things. So I've been interested in that in a long time and looking for potentially ways that we can figure out who would develop a reaction before it actually happens. However, I was not aware of any of these severe lung injury cases at all. And when Dr. Miller had taken care of Zay had been covered on the news media for walking on ECMO, which is very rare to do, walking on life support when you're hooked up to all those machines. The article did not cover Bactrim at all or mention it, but Dr. Miller started getting referrals from across the country saying, hey, something very similar happened to me. Was Zay potentially on Bactrim? And that's what really triggered me. I wanted to ignore it at first because I thought potentially it wasn't real. But after we received information on three previously healthy teenagers who had all taken Bactrim and all ended up on life support, we felt like we had to investigate
it. And this is acne again. It's given for urinary tract infections. It's a variety of stuff.
Skin infections.
But it's younger people who are dying.
Go ahead. So I think what has led us to see those patients is because there's other things not clouding the picture. If you have older adults that have lots of other illnesses and are on lots of medications, it's really hard to link those two things together. But in you have a kid who's completely healthy, that's the only medication they're on, and then they develop this severe lung reaction and end up on life support, and they've had every other investigation under the sun where we haven't been able to identify what's the cause. That really triggers looking into it.
But Dr. Miller, when we first started this conversation this hour, you said this is not an anti-Bactrim campaign. So what is the end game?
I think that the end game, or I guess where we're trying to get to, is to raise this type of reaction to the level of awareness that people have for other types of reaction that Bactrim can cause. And so we say Bactrim, we mean Bactrim and all of its generic equivalents, because it's got a lot of different manufacturers. And Dr. Holman was alluding to a skin reaction, which is very not common, but people commonly know of it, and you can see it. So when that reaction starts, people see it and they know right away, okay, this looks like that, we should stop the drug. But people don't know about this reaction. And so I want it to be on the same level where people start having respiratory type symptoms after taking Bactrim, new respiratory symptoms, and tell their provider. And the provider thinks, oh, this could be the Bactrim, and stop it. And similarly, if someone shows up to an ICU or an ER who is otherwise healthy and has been on this drug very recently, and
right,
kind of the time frame we're talking about, it could be that. But so don't give him more Bactrim when they come in the hospital.
But do you know, doctor, can you reverse it? Because in Zay's case, she started feeling, quote, unease and fatigue on day three. She was on the antibiotic 10 days, and 4 days later, she was life flighted to Children's Mercy, basically dying. Mm-hmm. So,
and
even,
died.
Even if I come in with my child, mm-hmm, and they're having this reaction, and the physician that I'm with happens to have heard about this, can you fix it?
I think the answer first is we don't know. Less drug exposure, if there's a dose kind of dependent reaction to this, could be helpful, and stopping it earlier could potentially mean that they would recover. But since we don't really know how this reaction is happening, we don't know how to reverse it. And the patients that have lived and the patients that have died, as far as how they were treated or what their underlying life and other symptoms were, there's really no difference.
There's no
difference.
We
can't tell at the beginning who looks like they're going to live and who looks like they're going to die.
But if we're talking about, say, heroin or something, I could understand how after 10 days you could say, well, the effects are irreversible. We're talking about a common antibiotic. How could it possibly be that after 10 days...
it does that much damage.
That she ended up... Zay ended up in the hospital for 457 days after taking the drug for only 10, according to what everybody has said to us, mm-hmm, and dies.
Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, that's not that uncommon for these very rare, probably immune-driven reactions. We don't know how to predict it. We don't know why some patients develop it. And it is likely kind of their immune system getting revved up. And once that drug triggers it and revs it up, it's hard to stop it.
Let me ask you this then. Could there be a test so that you would know who is allergic? Because as I shared at the beginning of the show, I am allergic to Bactrim and sulfides. I've said that my whole life. I'm allergic to Bactrim. I'm allergic to sulfa. I'm not going to let my kids anywhere near this drug because I have the allergy. And as a semi non-medically educated person, I worry that then I have passed that allergy down. We have now heard about Zay's case and sadly Abigail's case out of Springfield. If there's no test, why even go there?
Yeah, so right now, I mean, to address the test question, we're lucky to work at a place like Children's Mercy that's well equipped to investigate this from a research level. Sure. We have a great genome center that we're working with. We have one of the best pediatric clinical pharmacology divisions in the country. And so they really allow us to hopefully, potentially, develop a test one day to where a patient could get on Bactrim, take the drug, tolerate it, and then the goal would be to be able to test him and tell him to get off before the reaction ever occurred.
Do we know if any of the parents were allergic to Bactrim prior to the children being given the dose? I'm just curious if that's something you're looking at.
Yeah, there was no history.
There's no familial history.
No.
How soon after somebody takes Bactrim would they might exhibit symptoms that they're allergic?
For this particular reaction, right now we're looking at anywhere between 7 and 28 days, so kind of 1 to 4 weeks. So it's continual dosing every day at treatment dosing, and it goes for 1 to 4 weeks, depending upon what they were prescribed for. So UTI is a shorter course, acne is a longer course, and so somewhere in that range is where all of our patients have developed their symptoms.
Has there been any thought to the idea, not to be an old fuddy-duddy, but you're suffering from acne? Don't take Bactrim.
That's a great point. So what you're asking is, should maybe the reasons that people prescribe Bactrim change on this?
Yeah.
Potentially. And I think that, again, will potentially result from the work we're doing with the FDA.
Because there are other options.
Right. But like Dr. Miller said, for other cases where you have cancer and you need to prevent infections, yeah. Bactrim is the drug of choice. It's used at a low dose, and none of these reactions have occurred in those patients.
Are these effects that we're talking about, the lung infections, primarily in children and not in older people? I know that you were talking about earlier, Dr. Goldman, older people tend to be on more drugs,
right.
And we don't know whether it's Bactrim or whether it's this or that or that. But is there something in your research that has suggested that younger people are more akin to the side effects of Bactrim than people who are older?
No. I mean, we don't have that information yet. And again, it's just these younger
right.
children and adolescents are these striking cases that we've gotten word on.
Or is it just that the adolescents are more likely to be on an acne medication, whereas your 40 or 50-year-old man or woman would not be as likely maybe to be on that type of medication. I want to, and we'll bring Bree Kirshen back in, who lost her daughter Zay here in a moment. Do you think we would have gotten to this point had they not done the story on CNN with Bree about her daughter's death?
Absolutely not. I don't. I think really with information, the correct information, provided by Bree and her physicians and, you know, disseminated through mass media. Now, we've gotten a lot of information that potentially is not consistent with these cases, but it has allowed for a way for cases across the country to get a hold of us and allow us to investigate.
And so 19 suspected cases, do you have any estimate on higher? I mean, if it's going to go higher, how high? I mean, you're at the very infancy of this.
Yeah, I don't think we know how high, but we expect to gather cases and continue to get more information on many cases.
Mm-hmm. We got four cases last week
from other parts of the country.
Four cases last week.
Are you blasting this out to every like pediatrician's office in the country? Like, how does the pipeline of information work? Because here we're hearing about this because Zay died here and Abigail died here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you call up a physician right now in Oregon.
So
do they know?
So I think the pipeline's twofold. By the work that Bree's done and reaching out to families, I mean, families are savvy and they'll talk to their physicians about this. And then I think our most important role is getting out to the medical community. And so that's why we are working hard to get these cases published in journals that are read by every pediatrician. We are contacting the American Academy of Family Practice here in Kansas City. We've reached out to them and just forwarded them the information. And then I think with the help of the FDA, we'll continue to get that information out.
All right. Dr. Jenna Miller and Dr. Jennifer Goldman joining us in studio. We're talking about the very popular antibiotic Bactrim, which has led to, we believe, several deaths. I don't want to get too caught up in the legalese here because I don't want to get sued. But if you have a question for either one of the doctors, you're welcome to text us in at 22980.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I got a bad case of love.
Before we get back to Zay's mom here in just a moment, Bree Kirshen, let me just ask the two doctors here. Yeah, we've been talking about Bactrim and the story about Bree. Check that. Zay is horrible. And, of course, the young lady in Springfield, Abigail Caldwell, is horrible. But is there a concern with a drug like Bactrim, which 99% of the time probably works perfectly well, that we run the risk of going Dominican Republic on this thing, where there are isolated incidents of problems, and yet you ruin the entire thing? Where here we have a drug that for the vast majority of patients is extremely effective. However, there have been incidents of problems and we end up ruining. People go to the pharmacy and they say, well, your doctor prescribed Bactrim. Oh, no. I was listening to KMBZ the other night and I heard that's a deadly drug. Is that a fear?
I think both Dr. Goldman and I have that concern. And so that's why we try not to create hysteria around it and more information gathering, more fact gathering. And so when we put out information regarding this, we try to do it in a very scientific manner. And I think when we published this in Pediatrics this year, that really helped give us some of that scientific foundation that people could use so that hopefully it's not just social media hysteria. I think another thing that we try to do is when we're having conversations like this, we talk about there are several ways that this drug can be used safely, and then we've never had anybody report anything on the lower doses and the prophylactic doses where it's really important for patients to be able to take this medication. And so, yes, we do have that concern. And so we try to be very articulate and say that in every conversation, whether people choose to listen to that part is not something I can control.
Dr. Goldman, finally for you, how does this work moving forward? You are wanting to look at more cases. If they are out there, you want to know about them. How far back are you asking hospitals and physicians to go? How does that work? I mean, there could be deaths 40 years ago and 20 years ago where they did not understand why a perfectly healthy child came in with lung illness and was dead within days.
So again, we are interested in hearing about any case where a family member or a physician recalls that there was a previously healthy person that came in and ended up on life support and they had a workup and nothing came of it and it looked like it was likely the drug. We are interested in that. We recently, this past week, heard of a case that occurred back in the early 90s or mid 90s, and we are actively investigating that.
Also a young person?
Yes.
Let's bring in, if we could, really quick, Zay's mother, Bree Kirshen, who is phoning in from Wichita. And thank you for holding on so much, Bree. One of the things we wanted to ask you, your daughter and her death has led to this wealth of understanding and knowledge that will undoubtedly save other young people. And it's too late for Zay, and we are so sorry for that. How do you feel about that and her legacy as part of this story?
It's a hard question to answer because I think that when parents lose a child, they do look for a way to find some sort of meaning in the suffering or death that they experience. And this does, in a lot of ways, give me a focus. But I miss Zay tremendously every day, every moment.
Of course
you do. I even miss my Children's Mercy team there. We spent a lot of time together. And so I think this has been helpful in giving me some sort of focus, purpose, and I'm grateful for that. I do feel that it is very meaningful work that Jen and Jenna are doing, and I very much respect their approach and not being alarmist about this. If I have a second, I just want to say, as a hospice nurse, we do reflect on this touchstone benefit versus burden very often in everything we do. And so I think it is important for the fellow parents out there that have kiddos that are immunosuppressed and need Bactrim in a low dose to realize the benefit of preventing an infection outweighs the risk of dying from Bactrim because their children are fighting death already. And an infection would create death. But a child like mine who goes to the doctor with an E. coli UTI has several options of treatment. So I think it's just important for the awareness to get out there and then the parents and providers to be able to reflect on these decisions before it is prescribed. And I apologize again for my voice. I hope that's clear enough.
That's okay, Brent.
The only other thing I wanted to throw out there is I did have a reaction to Bactrim. I'm not sure how much it's been noted, but about 6 years prior, I had the typical sulfa rash.
You had a rash?
I did, yes, on my chest for 1 month.
Okay. Well, Bree, God bless you and your family, and of course your daughter, and thank you for spending the time with us this afternoon. We appreciate it.
And thank you so much for taking time with us, and thank you to Children's Mercy and her physician team.
Real quick, Dr. Zay was with you for 457 days. And so the research moving forward is exciting, and it will save people. I absolutely know in my heart that this will save people. It has to be hard to be that close with a young person where you could not change the outcome for her family.
Mm-hmm. I know in my heart that's one of the reasons that we are so determined to keep going, because we do this work at night, on weekends, in the mornings, 6 a.m. The first thing I'm doing is emailing Backtrim families. And so Zay is the reason for that, and she keeps us going. And whenever we start feeling tired or that we don't have time,
yeah,
we think of her.
Dr. Jenna Miller, Dr. Jennifer Goldman with Children's Mercy Hospital, we appreciate your time very, very much. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. On behalf of our producer today, Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're all back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe and be good.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.